Welcome back to the Logos of Experience and Truth podcast, where I work to unlock the mysteries of the beatific vision. I wanted to provide one more reason, one more why. Why the mysteries? What are they? I've been trying to answer. But another of the why should I even bother with this? What is the reason? What is the purpose of studying the mysteries, understanding the mysteries, meditating on the mysteries, seeking the mysteries? Now, this even further answers, in a way, the deeper aspects to religion, the spirituality within religion, why these things have existed throughout time. So I wanted to give another reason, and it's one of the reasons that I had in my head once I came across it and understood it, as well as how it pertains to Jesus the Christ because of his crucifixion, right? This was one of those reasons of, well, why was he crucified, right? I was trying to answer that question to myself, being a Catholic Christian, of, well, why was he crucified? What are the reasons for it? Is it just he upset some of the people in charge and, you know, stuff like that, kind of the way you're taught in Sunday school? I mean, I didn't really go to Sunday school, but kind of the way you're taught that in the basic kind of knowledge when it comes to this. But when you look deeper, and this is one of the reasons why I've been studying the mysteries pre-Christianity, and obviously that means you have to understand that there were mysteries pre-Christianity. You have to kind of get past the entire, everything before Christ was like the devil kind of ideas, because that's just a really very polemical way of looking at essentially our ancestors. And I prefer not to do that, especially since some of my ancestors were Mayan. And when I think of the religions and what they did, especially the cruelties that they did, it's hard to reconcile that, right? But when you are a Christian, especially in the modern world, and especially if you're a Catholic, and you have to learn to reconcile these horrible things that were done in the name of the religion or in the name of your church or in the name of God, essentially. And it's like, well, some of that stuff was really bad. You kind of have to learn how to reconcile the past of, well, why did these things occur? How did they occur? And what was the reason for that? And that kind of stuff. So learning the mysteries themselves were once the possession of the elite. Now, however you interpret that idea or concept of the elite, obviously is going to be based on our own idea of the elite today, but what were the elite in the past? Well, the easiest way of seeing this would be going to ancient Egypt, and there was the pharaoh and everything that the pharaoh represented, but then there was the priestcraft, the priestly caste, if we just use the caste idea from the Hindu tradition. And they essentially ruled and governed the entire nation. And I spoke about the vision of Hermes, and he says in the opening of that vision, he gave himself over to meditation using what he had learned from the temple. So whether this meant that Hermes was a priest or not, I'm not entirely sure. Obviously, he was taught by the priestcraft and whatever they taught him in the temple, which is another of the reasons why when you just read that section of it, this obviously would have come across after the other mythological idea of Hermes as being this Atlantean and this being that existed like 10 or 15,000 years ago, because if he gave the mysteries to the Egyptian people, then how in his vision would he have learned the mysteries from the temple and the priestcraft? So it's right there, right? Obviously, he's not some kind of Atlantean. That's all the mythological stuff. He was some kind of a teacher that emerged from the priestcraft in ancient Egypt at some point. That's at least what I derive when I read that and from studying the ancient stuff about that. So the knowledge of the invisible God or gods, right? Since we're talking polytheism at this point, the true knowledge, the true wisdom of it, the true teachings of it, the true benefits of it were for the elite. And that's one of the reasons why in the Eleusinian mysteries, and most of these mysteries, all of these mysteries actually in the ancient world, there was the penalty of death if you revealed any of this stuff to anybody, because it was the possession of the elite, either the priestcraft or the ruling class. And that's why if you read any of that stuff, there was always this kind of push and pull of the ruling class supporting or not supporting these mysteries, right? And it's obviously if they were not in line with each other. If you look at ancient Egypt, there was a time period when they were united, and then there's the whole Akhenaten thing that occurs, and he's changing the religion, and what that does is undermine the religious priestcraft, and then he just dies, and then all his line just dies, and the priestcraft just is back in charge again, right? So, so there's this push and pull that's going on between those that are considered the elite and the teachings of them and the temple and imparting the deeper knowledge of what these types of things do. Since, as I said, removing the search for the knowledge and truth of God, for instance, that you have actually confirmed through some type of an experience in your mind, heart, spiritually, a dream, something that you have received of the actuality of God existing, being real, whatever you see and identify as God, just that you have some type of an experience that confirms what all of this is and has been pointing to for thousands and thousands of years. Well, once that confirmation occurs, as I said, it creates a vacuum in the mind because you've reached that. You've already achieved that goal. So now it's, well, I already know this. So what comes next? And then that's when, especially if you go back to the Bible and the greatest of the commandments, right? Love God all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Well, if you've done that and you've achieved and you've received the blessing of experience, of some type of an experience that confirms this, well, then you can just apply that to anything else. And in my mind, that's why this was the possession of the elite in ancient times. And who knows up until now? I mean, that's why I'm saying your idea of elite, it might be different from mine, and it could be more in the past, it could be more in the present. Obviously, books and the internet has made it so that all this information is available to absolutely everybody. But if you're constantly distracted and have no idea about any of this stuff, or no idea how this stuff unlocks your mind, or no idea how you can use this to heal yourself, to, you know, get rid of depression, to be able to see clearly in the present, to be thankful, to give thanks, to be grateful. Even as you're being told this, and if you are reading any self-help or spiritual type stuff, they all repeat this stuff. But achieving that, reaching that, having that, you have many mountains to climb, all the distractions that you have to get over to be able to get to that. Well, that's what the mysteries seem to have given and produced. They gave and produced this kind of method by getting there, self-sacrifice, right? You're fasting, you're eating a plant-based meal or something, you're worshiping, you're practicing the rituals, you're doing all these different things. And again, all this translates into the modern religions as well, to a lesser or greater degree in each of the religions. But each of these things are teaching methods of how to use the mind. I don't know about you, but when I was in school, and maybe it's because I was a pothead in school, I only mean by saying that teachers didn't take a greater interest in me, I guess, or sought to focus on me so that I could succeed. But for me, it felt more like I was being given a manual and being told to follow directions and to extract the information from that manual and give back responses in an orderly manner, and that was all they were trying to teach, nothing else. So for instance, one of the things that they don't teach in school is anything on how to manage your emotions, even though as you get older, you find how absolutely important that is for your well-being, but that's not taught. And in school, what else is not taught? You're not taught how to manage credit, right? You're not taught how to manage your money because, at least in my mind, the elite wants you to make a million mistakes when it comes to that because that's how they get paid. So we can look at these elite now and elite in the past kind of things, but the mysteries were once the possession of the elite. And it's one of the reasons why I've come to understand why Jesus was put to death, because he was one of those that revealed the mysteries to all, not just to the elite. And I mentioned in my Vision Explained Deeper premium stuff on my website that there is some discrepancy. The general Christian idea is that all these Pharisees were these really terrible guys and they were just these priests that wanted money and wealth and power and all this kind of stuff. And they're, you know, the naughty guys in the Bible, and they were Christ's opponents. Well, not all of them were. Some of them came to him to learn. And obviously, in crafting an idea of us versus them, you know, they're all going to be made to look like these, you know, super negative people, even though they really weren't. They were actually the kind of in between within the ancient Jewish religion, because there was the Pharisee, the Sadducees. And then if you do go out into the desert and you get into the, gosh, I can't remember what their actual names are, what they suspect the Qumran people were. The name's literally leaving my head right now, but those desert people that they kind of attribute to John the Baptist. John the Baptist must have been part of this group, not the Nazarenes. I can't remember. Yes, that's funny. I'm not remembering it right now. Anyways, he revealed these things to everybody. And he says in the Bible, right, his quote is that the priests have locked up the secrets to the kingdom of heaven and they don't give them to anybody. And that's what his purpose is, to unlock that and to give that to everybody. So that's what I mean by they were once the possession of the elite. They were not taught to all peoples. They were meant for specific peoples. Now, obviously, you go back in time, it's like, well, how on earth could it be possibly taught to everybody when there weren't the means of communication that we have today? And any form of writing, well, let me step back, because when you go really far back to cuneiform in Mesopotamia, they have tons of records. But it's all like mercantile stuff. So it's ledgers and orders and keeping track of money and stuff like that. So it seems like it was readily available, but that was a clay tablet. I guess it's easy to make clay, throw it in an oven and push some stuff into it. But it's once you get into actual like writing and vellum and scrolls and that kind of stuff, that's when the cost factor of how much that stuff costs to acquire as well as secure and preserve, that's when it now really does become the possession of the elite because of those costs. In a book I read, I can't remember what it was called. It was like Where We Got the Bible or something like that. It kind of broke down how many pieces of vellum were needed for the Bible. So we're talking pre-Gutenberg. So Christendom, pre-Gutenberg, and pre-Protestantism. To produce a Bible back then, you would have needed to have slain, I don't know how many hundreds of cows to get the amount of vellum just to write it, and then acquiring the amount of ink needed to handwrite every single piece of the Bible, essentially it would cost about $10,000 in modern times to produce this in ancient times. So all you have to do is think about that, and it's like, well, who would be able to buy a Bible today if it costs $10,000? Even though the books are there, it would be incredibly difficult for anybody today to be able to buy a Bible, let alone back then when you were rich or poor. That's another of the reasons why studying the mysteries is viable and it's something that's important, because it used to be the sole possession of the elite. Only if you were wealthy could you go on a philosophic retreat for a month and perform the mysteries in service. Only if you were wealthy or if you were utterly poor, because you either gave everything up and joined one of these things, or you were wealthy and you paid for access to it. That's the only way that anybody had access to philosophy or the mysteries. And it was these outliers, it seems like a Jesus, like a John the Baptist, that were just kind of out there crying about these things, or the prophets in the Old Testament, that's the only way that other people learned the inner depth of this esoteric stuff. And the negative way that this is presented in a lot of the esoteric stuff is that this was not meant for the profane. So when you read that, you know you're reading something that the elite wrote. This is only for the elite. It's not meant for the profane, since the profane is referring to essentially everybody that doesn't understand or know any of this stuff, or is too ignorant to know or understand this stuff. And it's like, well, if you provide the teaching to it, then perhaps they won't be ignorant and they will understand this stuff. So all that stuff exists whenever you're reading or studying any of this mystery stuff. And again, that's one of the reasons to study them, why they are important, because if they were the possession of the elite and they didn't want the knowledge of this getting out into the open, then why, right? And I've already provided some of the why, because it unlocks your mind. It helps you to find your potential, your inner voice, helps you to have an experience of the divine, of God. And having that experience quickens you, quickens your spirit, enlivens you, it focuses you, it clears your mind for actual work, for what your actual purpose is, for what you really wish to achieve in life. But there is a method. There is a path, right? It's the narrow path. And that is what must be walked and discovered within in order to experience these, the mysteries. And I'll leave you at that. Until next time.